This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the December 21st edition of Invest Talk. We're dedicated to above average investing for the average investor. That means learning to be better. I include myself in that. This is a never-ending process. Of course, on Invest Talk, I focus growing your money, but it's very important, and every bit as important, to preserve your money. And one of the biggest drains on family finances these days is college education. The cost of education has skyrocketed far in excess of inflation. So why is that? Who's getting the money? Where's the money going in these colleges? I have that question. No one answers that question, but I have that question. The average nonprofit four-year college tuition is like $31,231 per year, and for a public school, it is $8,139. There's $1.2 trillion in student loans outstanding, and the default rate is increasing fast. $1.2 trillion. It's hard to get a grasp of how big that is. Now, are there options to this high cost? There are. There are options, but a lot of people don't take them. So maybe we can talk about that a little bit today. As always, I'm open to any money topic. Let's get to the phones right now. We try to answer your questions live during this hour, 45 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or you can leave your question on our 24-hour listen line anytime you want, 888-99-CHART.
Good morning, Steve or Justin. This is Alex from Tacoma, Washington. I'm 26 years old and been investing for about a year now. I have a TSP and I kind of just let that run and do its thing. I also have an individual account that I play with, individual stocks to learn the market. I've done fairly well this year, but listening to you, I'm trying not to let this go to my head. My question for you is regarding cycle of the indexes. Looking back 5 years, it seems almost every year the S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ right around December, and then they come back down January and February. I'm looking for your interpretation of this. What causes this, and why does it happen? Thank you. I look forward to hearing your answer on the podcast.
Well, the market has a yearly cycle. It's very, very common, very long-term, lasting over decades, and that is the last 3 months and the first 3 months of the year are good months, good six-month period, and the last, the middle part of the year are bad months, little 6 months through the summer. Now, when I say good and bad, it just means that the January, you know, the October, November, December, January, February, March have historically beaten the other 6 months every year consistently. Not always, but consistently year upon year that has done that. So what you're looking at is a cycle. When you're now you're trying to look at even a little tighter than that. There's also like a macro cycle of the market, and that is, and they have bear and bull market phases that last years, and we've been in a bull phase since 2009 of the market, and the average secular, they call it secular cycles, a secular bull cycle, the average is about 18 years or so. The shortest is about 9, the longest is about 25. So there's secular bull markets and secular bear markets. And then you go back 100 plus, 150, 120, 130 years, you'll see that. Now you're talking about the pretty much what most people call the Christmas rally and the effect after the Christmas rally into January. This year, I think we might see a weak January simply because I think people are going to take profits because the market has been up so much. And I can see people not taking profits in December because they want to avoid capital gains for this year and push it off to next year. I can see that being happening, but we won't know that. But we'll see how January turns out. But, you know, generally speaking, it is the stronger part of the year, so it's nothing to panic about, but you're observing little micro cycles that tend to be true, and that's all. Nothing, you know what, you can't play it. A lot of people says, well, why don't I buy and sell based on those cycles? It's very difficult to do that because sometimes they aren't true. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't always happen. Think about it this way. The biggest bear market we had in recent years started in March. The biggest bull market in recent years started in March. So you can't really, I mean, the dot-com imploded in March. The recovery from the financial crisis started in March of 2009. And the dot-com imploded in March of 2000. So, you know, kind of one goes down, one goes up. So it's hard to play. It's just very difficult to do that. Good question, though. Thank you. What do we have for you today? Well, how about 11 websites that will make you smarter about money? 11 websites. It's an article. The first one is one I love. The rest are okay. I'll give you one or two more I like. We'll tell you about them in just a minute. But, of course, you drive the topics. That's always true. You do. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. The crippling cost of college. That's talking about that. We just talked about that for a minute. I need to discuss it. We all know. More and more students and parents are asking, is it worth the cost? Is that debt you're taking on for college worth the cost? Okay, there's a reason why student enrollment peaked in 2011, by the way. Did you know that that was peaking? That's when it peaked and it's been falling ever since? Maybe there's a better solution for young people. There are alternatives to consider. For example, large corporations have internships and training programs. Maybe a skilled labor job is more practical, like, you know, plumber, electrician, machinist, carpenter. Not everybody's meant to go to college. It may be far smarter to pay one of these professionals to teach the next generation. These programs are far less expensive. It won't start a career so far in debt. And it'll take decades for you to get out of that debt. So, no question, there are statistics that show a college graduate makes more money. It does. Than non-graduate. It does. But maybe that would not be the case if you consider the debt and the lower standard of living a college graduate suffers until he gets out of that debt. And maybe you shouldn't encourage it in the first place. Even if you go to college, there are cheaper alternatives for the first couple of years of college than send them to a major four-year college. Why not do that? Anyways, those are my thoughts. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. Let's go to Kyle in Redwood City. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call, Steve. And I believe you're spot on with the trades there.
Yeah.
My question is about something that's probably affected you a little bit down in SoCal. The wildfires. So
yeah.
I've been watching PG&E, ticker PG, for a while now.
Uh-huh.
In October, it said, you know, maybe they're lying and they were liable for it. There could be a large lawsuit, and their stock, typically around 70, dropped down to close to 50.
Yep.
And then just recently, they mentioned once again that, hey, they have lawsuits out there, and they're not going to pay their dividend. So it dropped again 13% today.
Yep.
I feel like they're almost getting punished twice for the same, you know, same thing.
I'm agreeing with you, yes.
Do you think now would be a good time to buy? It seems, you know, like they had the small uptick after the first time, but now it seems like, you know, I mean, they're a $35 billion company now trading at, you know, somewhere around 20, almost half.
Yeah. What amazes me, they're going to make more money next year than this year. They're going to make $3.82 from $3.68. It's a utility, PCG, everybody. And they're being blamed for the wildfires. And, you know, Kyle, I looked at it when it first fell, and I said, you know, even if they have to pay for everything, it's not going to kill them. They have insurance for it. They have protect. They got lots of money. And it's utility. They'll raise the rates if they have to, and the state
exactly.
will let them. So, I mean, it's a utility. It's not. It's hard for me to believe that you know, it's not a good price. I thought it was a good price when it fell the first time, and I bought it. So now I'm getting screwed because I bought it and it fell again. But I'm thinking I'm going to wait a few days, maybe a week or two. I might just buy more.
Yeah, agreed.
Thanks,
Steve.
Appreciate the call, because I just don't. It's hard for me to see it. I try not to double down. I don't like to double down on individual stocks, but there's sometimes when. Yeah, I just think it's been overdone. Look at Teva. Remember how we all hated, I liked Teva. Yeah, I think it's a good price. And then it fell like a rock. And after that, because they cut their dividend to pay down debt. Remember that? Have you looked at it recently? It's up 6% today. It went down all the way down a little below $12 a share today. It's at $18.50 within 2 months. Think about that. $12, it went up $6 from being around $12, went up $6. That's a 50% recovery from the low. Yes, could you pick the bottom? No, I understand that. That was very difficult. But it's recovered a lot. I can see the same thing happen to PC&G. Now, the question is it at its low? And that's what we don't know. And I'd like to give it a little time to see if it would, flounder around down here. But I believe that's pretty darn reasonable. I mean, we're looking at a PE of about 11 going forward, a 5-year range. The PE is 11 to 23. The dividend is 4.8, but they say they're going to cut that because they may have to buy, they may have to pay for some of these lawsuits or the costs occur. Well, that might be so. They are cutting it. That's what they're saying. But I can see them, capturing that dividend later on. I don't know when. And I do like the fact, did you know from the first fall when it fell sharply the first time, there was a big insider buying, which I thought was interesting. He bought same time I did, but that means he's losing money too. I wonder if he's going to buy again, or he or they. All I can tell is they're buying. This is Best Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. What are you looking forward to in 2018? Maybe it's a retirement. First, you need to figure out your stable retirement income. You do. You need to figure that out. That would be a Social Security number, how much you're getting from them, any pension you're getting. Then you determine what you can expect drawing from your personal retirement accounts, your investments. You need to figure out how much money that's going to produce. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. Chart. Okay, let's take a look at today's topics, okay? 11 websites that will help make you a smarter investor. That's one thing we're going to do. I want to talk about a Dow crash, another 25% jump, or is it going to do anything in 2018? What's the possibilities of 2018, and what's the probabilities? Well, I don't know if I can tell you that, but I can tell you something about some of the studies, especially Fibonacci. Anybody knows what Fibonacci is? I think we got to take a look at that. I want to talk about volatility, about 2017. The volatility of 2017, to give you some numbers, I think you'll be shocked. And did you hear about Long Island Iced Tea Company? Did you hear about it? You did. If you didn't, I'm going to share something with you, which really smacks to me of a dot-com bubble type of thing. And I'll explain that when we get to that. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. As you approach retirement, it's a smart time to rethink your portfolio allocation, everybody. Maybe do some rebalancing. Maybe you need to dial down on the risk. Shifting to lower risk, lower reward investment options, maybe. Maybe bonds. I don't know. Maybe some kind of covered option, call option, income producing thing, something. Would you like to talk about that? Check in now with your money, 888-99-CHART. Okay, let's go talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on Under Armour. I've been thinking about getting it, and it's been a little bit moving upwards. So I'm just wondering if now would be the time, do you think?
Well, it looks like they've turned around their earnings. I'm not so convinced about the sales yet. The earnings are going to go up next year from 19 cents this year to 31 cents next year. Sales in the most recent quarter fell 4%, and that's the first time sales have ever fallen for Under Armour. Under Armour, symbol UA, everybody. Markets performance apparel, footwear, accessories made from moisture-wicking synthetic fabrics. And the stock has actually fallen pretty consistently from $40 when it first came out now to $13.95, but it bottomed out around $10.50 or so. So that was its low. So it's been recovering ever since then. For me, Art, I'm worried about the sales turnaround. They'll probably have a good quarter. I just don't know if it'll be, the final quarter of the year. Just don't know if it'll be good enough to make it worth this amount of money. Remember, it's only made 31 cents, a $13 stock. So it's at, 30-something P.E.? So it's not cheap, but the lowest P.E. it's ever had is 25, and the highest is 70. So it's... for its stock is cheap for Under Armour. I'm just not convinced it's worth the money, personally.
Yeah, I was just actually wondering about their international portion of their business. I'm wondering if that's going to be picking up. I understand that's where they're going to generate a lot of their revenue.
Yeah, I can see that. I can really see that happening. I can. And so you're going to have to bet on the come, Art, because you're going to have to overpay for a stock that's not growing its sales yet. You're going to have to bet that it can. And, that's kind of on the risky side. So if you do buy it, just know that you're it's a great brand, great brand. You're buying that brand and you're buying it on the come. Okay?
Maybe I'll just pick up a small portion at this point and see what it does.
That might be a good idea. I might suggest that, yes. Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call. Let's go to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is not a particular stock question, but I have an account, as you know, that produces a lot of income.
Right.
And I see that we're entering like a euphoria stage of the stock market. And I'm thinking of starting to raise cash, maybe 5 or 10% a month.
Well,
I wondered if... Thought that was foolish, or?
No, I don't think I don't think you should dump everything like you're suggesting, John. I also do think it's a good idea to start raising some cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that we're rotating from growth stock names to value stock names. But I do think 2018 is not going to be anything like 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think the market's going to crash or anything, but I certainly can see a long period of going sideways. I can.
Do you think we're entering euphoria stage in the stock market?
I think we're, I don't know if I could call it euphoria, but I will call it, I don't know if I can call it that yet, but man, there's certain things that drive me nuts, like, Bitcoin. Things, way the heck, yeah. What are you talking about, that kind of valuation? And I don't know if you heard, I'm going to talk about Long Island Iced Tea today. I don't know if you heard what happened to them today. But just by changing their name, it certainly smacks of the .com kind of era.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of things going on that this is just not right. At the same time, value stocks didn't work at all this year. Very few worked this year. Growth did, but not value. Interesting.
Okay.
I'll just keep listening. Okay. I'm going to talk about certain things that worry me in the market today. John, appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you. Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody, about the day-to-day money decisions that have lasting impact. Scams that just won't die. I got a scam I'm going to have in the newsletter this Friday, too, tomorrow. But scams that just won't die. Grandparent scams oftentimes involve someone calling an elderly person claiming to be his or her grandchild and that they need money. IRS phone call scams. The IRS never calls anybody on the phone, everybody. So don't share information with anybody on the phone saying they're from the IRS and that you got to file your taxes or there's a mistake in your taxes and they're going to fix it for you. Microsoft Support Center scams. Someone calling you saying your computer has been infected with malware and they're going to help you. They're going to remotely help you fix that malware. Well, didn't you give them access to your computer? Guess what they do? Don't fall for these scams. These are top three scams. And they've been around a while and people are still falling for them. Do not do that. If you have a question about that, just give me a call. I'll contact you. Send me an email before you do anything. You know, remember, contact Steve on investtalk.com. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, how to prioritize your savings and debt. That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. But what's your topic today? My direct line, 4 to 5 Pacific time, is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, good reason number 5 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Steve says that many portfolios he looks at are weighted in just one or two sectors. A diverse mix of market sectors is so important to the health of a retirement portfolio. Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. He can make suggestions about the sectors of the future. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and your life situation. There's never a cost for InvestTalk listeners and no sales pitch or obligation of any kind ever. To schedule your one-on-one conversation with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And now let's continue with the podcast. This is InvestTalk. While it may not always be the answer you want to hear, it'll be the straight stuff. Bring your question to Steve right now. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm fine, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Steve, I wanted to see if PCV is a good buy now. It went down sharply because they cut the dividend. But
we talked about it earlier. Yeah. Is it a good buy now? I said earlier in the show that we need to, I think it might be, but I think we need to wait to see it turn sideways a bit before we buy. And I already own this company in our managed accounts, and I own it myself. And I would consider buying more after it trades sideways, because I think as a utility, as I said before, it's going to do well. I think it's not going out of business. I think that it's underpriced now, severely underpriced, and therefore it's a great value. And if you're a value investor, these are the kinds of things you want to look for. I don't think it's a value trap because it is a utility. It's not going to go out of business, in other words.
And Steve, what do you think about the Edison? Is it also the same category?
No, the dividend is going to be cut. That's why it fell today so hard. They announced they're cutting the dividend yesterday. So that's the problem. They're going to cut the dividend because they want to build a war chest for these fires that they may have to help pay for. Remember, they have insurance for it, but they're worried that it may not be enough. So that's why they announced they're going to cut their dividend, and that's what drove the stock down so hard today. So don't rely on that dividend. They probably, a year from now, 2 years from now, will probably raise the dividends, but it's going to take, they got to see how much this is going to cost them, out of their bottom line before they decide to do that. So, yes. Jay, appreciate the call. Thank you. Appreciate that. Volatility in 2017. Volatility of the market. Now, volatility has been, it's at a three. It is at one of the most extreme lowest volatility that we've seen ever. And the volume of stocks traded in 2017 is at a 3-year low. The monthly volume of stocks is down in the biggest ETFs, down 34%. Volume, trading volume, not trading. This is according to Wall Street Journal. The S&P 500 hasn't had a 3% decline from a peak in more than a year. Now, it's gotten real close to 3%. The average daily move of the stocks for the Dow and the S&P, the average daily move is 0.3%. That's the lowest since 1964. The average daily move. That tells you how low volume is, low volatility is, and volume has fallen off hard. Now, what does that mean? What does those mean? Anything? And I can't tell you for sure. I can tell you everybody's gotten very complacent with the market. Very complacent, meaning they're not worried about it. And whenever that has happened in the past, volume will definitely pick up, volatility will clearly pick up. And so I'm thinking 2017 is not going to be like 2018 is not going to be like 2017. I cannot see the market being that strong again. It's possible. Don't get me wrong. I could be totally wrong here. I don't pretend to know everything. It's just not probable and not logical. But sometimes the market is totally emotional. Remember the call earlier today from John saying, you know, are we seeing euphoria? When you see euphoria in the market, that means it's topping somewhere. And that's why he was concerned about producing some cash, because he's worried about holding on to its gains. But no one knows that. I don't know that. I'm just looking for signs that that might be true, or signs that, no, we got a lot more to go. It's hard to know. Let's get back to our 24-hour listen line, pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, Steve and Justin, love your podcast. Hey, I was calling about AutoZone, just seeing what you thought about it. I sold some today to take some profits. I was up about 25%. It's still a full position in my portfolio. I just wondered what you thought of it for near future and long-term holdings. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I think it's really good for long-term holdings. I think it looks pretty decent short-term. I don't think it's overpriced that much. I don't. It's right around 15, 16 PE, which is right in the middle range of its PE range. So, and it's still growing its sales 3 to 5%. It's a $20 billion company. AutoZone, everybody, operates 5,400 retail auto parts stores in the U.S. AZO is the symbol, AutoZone. It has a really good return on equity number. I mean, there's a lot of good things about the company. A lot of good things, and they're still in play. I don't know if I would be selling at this point. It doesn't hurt to take profits ever, but I don't know. I would hold on to it. I'd hold on to it. AZO. A-Z-O. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Long Island Tea. Long Island Iced Tea Company. Traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Long Island Iced Tea announced yesterday, and this is a micro-cap company, $67 million is the market capitalization. It doesn't make any money. It loses money. They announced today, or last night, they're going to change their focus and be Long Island Blockchain Company. Mind you, they were iced tea. They're making iced tea. Now they're going to focus on the blockchain. Remember, blockchain is the engine behind their cryptocurrencies. So now they're not even going to make iced tea. That's not going to be their focus anymore. They're going to be investing in and looking at companies in the blockchain. Now, that is a totally different kind of company. So what do you think the stock did? The stock went from $2.44 yesterday up to $9.49 today and settled at $6.91, up 183% in one day. And it has no contracts. It has no going forward way to make money in using blockchain technology in some way. It just made an announcement that's what it's going to do. And the stock goes up 183%. Does that seem crazy to anybody besides me? That's insane. Why would it do that? This smacks of the .com era when all you had to do is put .com at the end of your name and your stock would shoot up. No other reason. So this one decided to just put blockchain in their name. The stock shot up. If you're an insider, they should have been selling all day long at $9 a share just because they changed their name. The stock goes up a couple 100%. Makes no sense. They don't have a contract. They have no... It just floors me when something like that happens. And that's it. That makes no sense. And yet it happened. And that tells you something about what's going on in the cryptocurrency sphere. Now, how would you like to invest? Did you notice how much this week that Bitcoin went down. Did you notice how much it fell this week? It was a big time fall. Now, how would you like to invest in the same program as your financial advisor? Well, you can do that. We do that. I do that. You can choose any of our programs at KPP Financial. I'm in every one of those programs with my own assets. I buy the same thing, same time, same percentage as all the clients. I call it parallel investing. If you'd like to know more about it, go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tabs.
When you sign up to be an Invest Talk insider, you get the keys to all kinds of useful information, including a big library of wealth webinars. The latest one, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market, was presented last month, but you can watch it anytime you'd like. The Insiders Program is free, never a charge for any of it. Sign up on investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab.
Hello, Justin. Hello, Steve. This is Raphael from Jersey. I want to thank Steve for, I called him about Ping Am Insurance, PNGAY. It's done great, up about 25% right now. My question to Steve or Justin is if you could take another look at the stock today, because apparently I watched your Investor Day conference, and I'm watching some news. And it looks like they're really thinking that the company should be re-rated because they're getting into technology and they think that they're going to make a lot more money and be valued more as a tech company than a traditional insurance company. So if you could please take a look at that stock today, PNGAY. Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
When a company changes industry, we just talked about Long Island Iced Tea. When a company changes industries and they think they're going to get away from this one and over to that one, that worries me greatly. What makes you think they have any expertise in that area? You know, it's kind of a red flag that maybe it's not a time to be in the particular stock because of the risk they're taking in changing their focus. Because that is a huge change in focus, going from insurance to technology. Now, is it technology in the insurance business or is it technology away from it? I don't know. I don't have a lot on PNJ Insurance Company. It's an over-the-counter stock. It just does not come up. I'll try it again. PNJAY. Let's see if it comes in over here. Nope. Don't get much on that. So I don't get a lot of information on it, but I would be very concerned about that, and I would tend to leave the company when they totally change direction like that because I would be worried about the expertise. What makes you think that they can do that than what they were doing? Appreciate the call. PNJAY. Okay, let's talk about websites. Websites that can help you. The best kinds of websites out there that can help you with investing. And this is a list. It was I forgot where it came from. Business Insider, I think, was the magazine, online magazine. Their first one on the list is one of my favorites, Investopedia. And they list all these websites and then why they like them. And Investopedia is a dictionary. It's great for finding easy to understand, comprehensive definitions, financial terms, or concept. It also provides tutorials on everything from income taxes to becoming a landlord. The site even features study guides for national administrative financial exams. I kind of like that. Now, they went on from there. They went to Kiplinger, and I'm thinking, Kiplinger? That's great. You know, Kiplinger has some good articles and things, and they're interesting, but, I'm just not convinced that that's the best play. Then they went to a place called Wise Bread. Well, Wise Bread refers to itself as a personal finance and frugal living forums. Best for its spending less and saving more kind of bent. Credit.com. Creating a free account with Credit.com gives you access to your credit score. Well, okay. So, LearnVest. Anyways, they have a number of them. The one that they don't have there for investors that I like is FinViz. You've heard me talk about it. At FINViz.com. It's a great search engine there. I like how they've set up their website. I like the that search engine a lot. But, you know, you can find almost anything on the internet these days. We all know that. But it takes work. You got to find things. And sometimes it's difficult. So those are some of the websites it likes the best. And there's a number of them. There's like 11 of them. And as I went in through them, there's only a couple, three that I kind of like. And the top one was the best one, was Investopedia.com. If you're learning the business and you're trying to figure out what things mean and how to learn to do this, that's a good place to start. Let's go to Frank in Pleasanton. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, I'm good, Steve. I had a question. Is there any sites or free or paid software that shows institutional buying for a particular stock?
Well, there are, but it's always looking back. In other words, you can't find something that's, okay, the institutions are buying something right now. That doesn't exist. Matter of fact, I have one. I kind of sometimes tell you that they had, for instance, 1,000 mutual funds owning the stock a year ago, and today is 2,000. I have that kind of data in front of me. And I have the percentage of ownership by institutions in front of me. But it doesn't tell you what they're doing today.
I see.
You know, that's going to be a hard part.
Right.
They don't want you to know. You know,
right. And so the software that you have, though, I can't go and get that information.
Sure.
Free, or I have to pay for it.
You have to pay for it. It's marketsmith.com. You do have to pay for it. And it's like, I don't know. I want to say $60 to $80 a month.
Okay. Well, that's helpful.
And that gives you that plus a lot more information. You know, a lot of stuff I'm to tell you on the radio, I'm getting from MarketSmith.
Okay. Perfect. Well, Frank, thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. 888-99-CHART. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, your host. I'd like to get your question in before the end of the day. That means you got to call and ask it. 888-99-CHART is our direct line. You can do it right now. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to talk to Ken in Fremont. How you doing, Ken? Want to talk about the dollar. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I just had a couple of questions.
Sure.
And one of them was about the strength of the dollar, like the value compared locally, and then globally, how it's going to affect us with the recent changes.
Okay. Everybody, the strength of the dollar. When he talks about the strength of the dollar, remember our currency trades against other currencies around the world. The currency is free floating. So the currency value of any country is just in relationship to the value of currency in some other country. Okay, so we generally compare our currency with the euro and with the Japanese yen. It's pretty common. So how is the dollar doing? Well, this year the dollar has fallen. Now, you would think, with our economy doing really well, GDP doing really well, and the Fed raising interest rates, that the value of our dollar would go up. But it didn't. It actually fell. Not tremendously, but it did fall. Let's see.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I got that right.
And that's what I've noticed, and that's why my question was two-part, was locally and then globally, because it could have, you know, a dynamic going on that has really never been seen, and it appears like it might be going that way. Kind of weird. I've never had the situation.
Yeah,
so, I just wanted to get an expert, you know, judgment call.
Yeah, well, welcome to my life. It is weird. but I think some of the answer is, Ken, is because, remember, it's traded against other currencies. And other countries' currencies, other countries' economies are doing better and actually starting to gain a lot more strength than they used to. Our dollar went up in value not this year, but last year. It went down in value this year, and it might be because of everybody looking forward saying, okay, well, our economy might be doing better, but, you know, we got the rest of the world is going to do better too, so maybe we've already bumped up the dollar too high against other currencies in 2016, so therefore, 2017 is not going to do that well. even though
right.
the economy is doing better. You know how everybody looks forward, right, Ken? Everybody looks, all the investors mm-hmm. look forward. So that's the only good or halfway decent explanation that I can give you, and that may not be the whole explanation. I mean, I don't know. No one really knows. If anybody tells you they know, Ken, they're lying, okay? They don't know.
Oh, I would ask where they bought their crystal ball.
That's right. But I have a feeling that might be part of the answer. I'm not convinced that the dollar is going to go up strongly, but it might do better because of the new tax law. That could be a boost to the dollar
yeah.
in 2018. And it depends on the foreign currencies, how they do, and their economies. If their economies pick up...
And mainly, I'm watching the China economy mm-hmm. because they got such a strong grip.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm a little concerned. And, and that would what would be a factor that I might...
But you got to remember...
What would be a major factor that I would look for?
You got to remember, though, China is not a free-floating currency. It floats to some degree, but it's not a free-floating currency. They control that. Quite a bit. Used to be they controlled it strictly, 7 wons to every dollar, and then they would buy dollars just to make sure that it stayed that in that relationship. But so they're not, I don't think you can compare with China and say the dollar's going to get stronger or weaker. I think you got to go to more free, open economic societies like Japan and Europe and, you know, those kinds okay. of, and Australia and Canada. And maybe down in the peso, I think that's where you want to compare it with those kinds of currencies. Maybe even a basket of those. I look at the dollar using UUP, which is an ETF that is a dollar index fund, and that's how I look at it to see it movement. But so it's a tough call. And then once you know that information, then what do you do with that information?
It's going to change.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ken. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem. I really appreciate your answer.
Thank you. Time to wrap it up, everybody. Reminder, if you're not near our California offices, I can meet you via Skype or the telephone. Do a one-on-one retirement portfolio review. It's easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody else at the KPP family, thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.